Okay, this is our second series talking about finances, money, talking about God's perspective on finance and money. Last time we talked about how there are three kinds of giving. There are tithes, offerings, and alms. We'll talk about offerings and alms in more detail in a future segment. But we started digging in on tithe, and that's what we're going to concentrate on today is the tithe. And what is it? We talked last time about how tithe is the 10%, and we talked a little bit about how to measure that if you have wages or if you have a business, and I promised we'd talk about mangoes and chicken eggs. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, and we're going to look at verse 23. Jesus here is talking to the Pharisees, the clergy of the day, and he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin." In other words, they were from their garden plot. They were tithing the herbs, the very small amounts of herbs. I guess they'd count 10 mint leaves, and then they would tithe one of those. And Jesus said, "You're doing that, but you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But these are things you should not have neglected." In other words, the weighty things of the law. You shouldn't have neglected those while doing the others. In other words, you should do the tithing, but you also should do this other stuff. Jesus was confirming the concept of the tithe in the New Testament. And so if you have a garden plot and you have a mango tree and that mango tree produces 100 mangoes, then 10 mangoes is the tithe. Or if you have an avocado tree in your yard, or if you have chickens, those chickens produce 50 eggs, then 5 eggs are tithe. Yes, you tithe on the garden plot. That's what Jesus said. Maybe you don't deliver to your pastor 100 avocados. Maybe you deliver the equivalent of that. You sell it in market or give him the money that would be the equivalent of that. And then that's paying the 10% of the increase. So why do we pay tithes? How do we do it? Who do we pay it to? Turn to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 30. Leviticus 27 and verse 30 says, "Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or the fruit of the tree," sounds like avocados to me, "is the Lord's." And then listen to what it says. It says that all the tithe is holy to the Lord. Why is it holy? Because it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. It never is ours. The eggs that your chickens produce don't really belong to those chickens. They belong to you, right? That's how you feel about it. But guess what? 10% of the eggs that those chickens produce don't belong to you either. They belong to God. They're holy to God. That's the tithe. It's not available to us for a loan. It's not available for us to use. If we hang on to it, it's going to burn holes in our pockets. Now, the Levites, turn to Deuteronomy 26:12. We looked at that earlier. Let's just look at it one more time. Deuteronomy 26:12 is talking about where the tithe goes. Remember that the Levites were the clergy of the day. They were the priests, the deacons, as we would have. "When you have finished paying all tithe, then you shall give it to the Levite." So the tithe goes to the clergy, the local pastor. Turn to Numbers 18. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 21. So he says in Numbers 18:21, "To the sons of Levi, behold, I," this is God talking, "I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance to the Levites. In return for their service, which they perform, the service at the tent of meeting." So the tithe goes to the Levite, doesn't actually go to the church. It goes to the Levite, and it's a wage for them. It's paying them for their services rendered. Because the tithe belongs to God, God is actually paying the wage. The parishioners aren't paying the wage of the clergy. God is. And he does it using his money. And his money is the tithe, the 10%. So it's not you paying that. This is what God wants to do with his money, okay? And we're going to let him do what he wants to with his money. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9, and we're going to see a New Testament reference to this. Tithes are a New Testament reference to the idea that a clergy member can receive financial blessings from those that they are responsible for. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 3 through 11. 1 Corinthians 9, I'm sorry. My defense to those who examine me, do I not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I have a right to refrain from working or not have a right to refrain from working? In other words, is it only us that have to work for a living? Everybody else can be supported by their parish? He says, who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and doesn't expect to eat the fruit of it? Who tends a flock and doesn't use the milk of the flock? He says, I'm not speaking according to human judgment, am I? Or does the law also say these things? And then he quotes the law. He says, you shall not muzzle the ox who is threshing. God's not concerned about ox, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sakes? Yes, for our sake. It was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed a spiritual blessing or if we sowed spiritual things into you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? This is, to me, the beautiful part of God's economy and how he uses tithe to take care of his economy. He says, I want to use the tithe to take care of my clergy. Numbers 18, let's go back to that. I should have told you to keep your fingers there, huh? Numbers 18. And we're going to look at a couple more verses. We're going to go down to verse 26 and 28. Because this is describing here what we do in the CEC with the tithe. Verse 26 of Numbers 18 says, moreover, you shall speak to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the sons of Israel the tithe which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it to the Lord, a tenth of the tenth, a tithe of the tithe. They present that as an offering, but they do more than that. Verse 28, you shall also present an offering to the Lord from the tithes which you receive from the sons of Israel. From it you shall give to the Lord's offering. You shall give the Lord's offering to Aaron, the priest. In other words, they were to take a tenth of, the priest was to take a tenth of what they received and turn around and give that to the high priest. This is what we do in the CEC. The priest receives the tithe. The priest then gives 10% of that to the bishop in the cathedral. The bishop in the cathedral collects the tithe from the priest. He gives some of that to whoever's over him, and it's a biblical system. Now, I know you're thinking, oh boy, the priest gets 10% of what everybody makes, and there's just one of me or maybe two of us clergy and a whole bunch of people. Man, we ought to be rich. This is great. Well, God's economy is smarter than that. And I want you to get your pencil and paper, write some of these things down so you can do the math later and you can confirm this. The Levites in the Old Testament comprised about 4% of the population. That means for every one Levite, there were about 24 families that they had to pastor. Now, and so all 24 families, of course, are giving 10%. But when the Levite received the tithe then was divided into thirds for his use. The first third was for him and his family, their sustenance, their wage. But there was another third of that, as we saw in Deuteronomy 26:12, that was used for widows and orphans and for the poor. It's used for benevolence. And then there's another third of that that is used for building maintenance, festivals, parties, conferences, gatherings of the church parish, that sort of thing. And so when you put all that together, you do the math, 4% of the population, 10% divided by a third, it comes out that the Levite, the clergy of a church, their income is exactly the average of the income of the people. Now, of course, that assumes that the people are doing what they're supposed to, and they're tithing, they're giving all of the 10%. But isn't that just like God, to make sure that the pastor is at exactly the level of the people? So if I'm pastoring a church in a very poor area, I'm going to have a smaller income. If I pastor a church in a fairly wealthy area, I'm going to have more income. If my parishioners, if their average income is $100,000 a year, then my average income is going to be $100,000 a year. Isn't that masterful of God to plan it that way? So there are three conclusions we can draw from what we've seen so far about God's plan, how he takes care of his pastors and ministers. One pastor family is supposed to pastor an average of about 24 families. I don't know about you, but for me, that's a lot. The pastor family income should mirror that of his parish. So the priest of the parish, I think, has a lot of incentive to pray for the prosperity of his people, because the more prosperous they are, the more prosperous we are. I pray for the prosperity of my people. I promise you that on a regular basis. But when you see a church that's got one or two or three pastors and then maybe 2,000 parishioners, it's not uncommon that that pastor is living in luxury while teaching his people, oh, if you'll just be spiritual like I am, then God will bless you and you'll be rich like I am. Well, you know, that's an unbalanced teaching. That's just not right, I don't think. Now, I'm sure there's a place for the megachurch and a pastor that's inordinately wealthy compared to the people, but that's not normative. That's not the normal way God does things. And then the third thing that we've picked up is that tithing is God's plan for supporting the ministers that he calls to his service, and God's plan only works when everybody does their part. So let's look at another scripture and dig a little deeper into tithe. Let's go to Malachi this time, the last book of the Old Testament, and we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to start with verses 8 through 10. The writer here, it's a prophetic word, and he starts off, it's really God speaking to the people, and he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And God says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me in this now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." This picture that God paints here for the people is that the normal state of blessing, as far as God is concerned, is to open the windows of heaven and pour out on us blessings that are so abundant, we can't contain it. We can't use it all. We'll have to give away some of it to somebody else because it's so lush. That's not the extra blessing. That's just the normal state of the way God loves us and the way he takes care of us. But he does that only to the extent that people tithe. The tithe is not for the TV evangelist. It's not for missionaries. It's not for building programs. That's what offerings are for. We'll get to that. This is a mistake that Debbie and I made for years early in our marriage. We didn't really have a good church home. We knew that we were supposed to tithe, and so we thought, well, what we'll do is we'll tithe to missionaries that we know and church organizations that are doing good work. We'll tithe there. And that wasn't right. That's not God's plan. We were supposed to be tithing to the local pastor. I think God still took care of us, but anyway, in our church here in Charlotte, that's what we do. We encourage people to bring the tithe in here, and then we're going to take part of that tithe and we're going to give it to evangelists and missionaries and help support folks like that. From this, we can see, and what we've talked about earlier, that tithe is 10% of your earnings or 10% of the increase. What tithe is not is it's not just a gift of whatever you happen to have in your pocket when you go to church. In other words, I've got 100 shillings here, 200 shillings there. It's not just, well, that's what I've got in my pocket, and so I'll put that in the plate, and that's my tithe. No, that's not your tithe. Tithe is 10%, is a specific amount of your wage. We've talked about that. Tithe is not an offering for the building fund. Don't put your tithe in the building fund. It doesn't belong there. Tithe, you don't pay 10% or a tithe on your inheritance. Did you know that? We're going to get to that in another segment. Tithe is the first 10% of your earnings. A lot of folks, especially those that get paid on a weekly or monthly basis that I know of, they'll make sure that they take out that 10% first. As soon as they get paid, they take out the 10%, set it aside so that they can put it in the offering on Sunday. So the problem here that Malachi is talking about is that the people are robbing God of His holy tenth. And if that's happening, no amount of prayer from me or your bishop or anybody else is going to help you, because you've cursed yourselves. This is what Malachi 3:9 says. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, robbing God of the tithe. That's why if you don't give God the tithe, you're robbing Him. And if you're robbing Him, then He can't bless you, no matter how much you pray about it. Now, let me tell you what I've seen in with tithing and God's blessings and how that's worked. And I'm telling you, I've watched this happen dozens of times with people that have come into our church. And I'm just going to tell you one story, one typical story, maybe two, of what I've seen happen. So a lady started coming to our church. She was a single mom. Very low income. She was in financial chaos. I mean, she just was scratching to get by. And so she began to learn about tithing, and she said, well, there's no way I can tithe. I don't have enough money now to support us the way we are. And we said, look, this scripture in Malachi, it talks about, you'll look in verse 10, He says, God says, test me now in this. This is the only place I've seen in the Bible where God makes that challenge. And so we challenged her. We said, just test God. Try it. And so she began to tithe, and she began to tithe on a regular basis, and her finances began to improve immediately, and they just continued to improve. Well, this went on for about a year. She was doing great. And something happened. She decided, well, this money, instead of putting it in the tithe, I'm going to spend it this month on something special. And that month, they had a medical bill. And it turned out that medical bill was just about the amount of the tithe that she withheld. It was unexpected. And she paid it. And then she said, well, because of that medical bill, now I don't have enough money to pay the tithe next month. And so the next month, she didn't pay the tithe. And that month, she had an unexpected bill come up on her car. And guess what the amount of that unexpected car repair was? It was exactly almost to the penny of her tithe for the month. And we pointed this out to her. And we said, look, you can't rob God. He's going to get His tithe one way or the other. You might as well give it to Him the way He told you to. And she said, okay. She started tithing again. And guess what? Her finances turned back around and she was okay. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the number of times I have watched this kind of thing happen. And next time I'm going to tell you about a guy who came into the church, didn't have hardly any cash at all, and we did something kind of creative with him.